Welcome back to Bellows Unplugged. We're playing up tempo basketball slash live radio today due to the fact we've got an Iowa basketball game on a little later in the afternoon. That preempts part of the show. We are very fortunate, thankful, though, to have been able to reach out to Dr. Miriam Grossman, practicing physician, renowned speaker and author of four books, known internationally for her courage in breaking ranks and calling out and calling the foul on the sexuality education industry. And she's going to be in Omaha this weekend, and she will be on Sunday afternoon at 3 to 4:30, I believe, at the Victory Church, close to the corner of 56th and Sorensen Parkway. And we'll get that exact address to you folks. But Dr. Grossman, thank you so much for working us into your schedule today. It's very important to have you on the air. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And it is very, very important for parents, grandparents, and others that are involved with children and adolescents to know what's going on in your area vis-a-vis the debate over sex education. And that's why I'm coming in.
Well, you know, one of the things that strikes me about the way the Omaha Public School Board has dealt with this is kind of similar to Nancy Pelosi's comment on Obamacare. We have to pass the bill before we can read it. Okay, and that's kind of what seems to be happening with respect to our intrepid Board of Education here in terms of them being open and honest with concerned citizens and parents about what's in the curriculum, that they, this flash curriculum, this comprehensive sex education. And I know you've looked into it, you've had conversations with many people, and you've been going around the world and dealing with this subject for many years. What's your take on Omaha's school board situation, what the parents are trying to do, and how bad is this thing, Dr. Grossman?
Well, it could be quite bad. As you said, you hit the nail right on the head when you said, you know, it's like Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, we'll find out what's in Obamacare after we pass it. That's precisely what's going on here. From what I can gather, and that is the Omaha Public Schools has provided to parents a draft of the standards that they are setting for human growth and development, otherwise known as sex education, for the 4th through the 10th grades. At least that's what I got. And it's a draft of standards that really, honestly, it doesn't say too much, and it leaves many, many issues out there yet to be clarified, important issues. For example, and this may sound silly to you almost, but I promise you it's not. What is the definition, according to Omaha Public Schools, of sex and abstinence? Some comprehensive sex education programs define abstinence to kids as any behavior that does not include the exchange of bodily fluids, meaning that showering together, even, you know, sleeping in the same bed together, and many other scenarios that we don't need to elaborate upon, would not be considered sexual activity. So one of the first questions that I would like to ask the Omaha Public Schools is, what is your definition of sex, and what is your definition of abstinence?
And I fear that you may get an answer that was similar to what Bill Clinton's was in 1998. you know, and we're working around the edges of the spirit of that question, I'm afraid. And when you talk about 4th to 10th graders, I think you said. What is that? That's 9-year-olds to 16-year-olds, roughly, probably, or 15-year-olds?
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's just some pages missing over here and that maybe it includes K through 12. I really don't know. But the bottom line is that there are way too many questions that remain for any sort of approval to happen at this point. For any, you know, there's just huge gaps in information of what is going to be taught over here. As I go through it, I do see a few things that are disturbing. For example, eighth graders are told, let me just find this. Eighth graders are told dating and romantic relationships can be a way to learn about other people, about romantic and sexual feelings, and about what it is like to be in intimate relationships.
Wow.
No, 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 not for eighth graders. We need to be warning them.
Yep.
We need to be telling them at this time in your life, sure, you may have an interest in sex, and that's healthy, and that's those urges are normal and wonderful, but you don't act on them now. That is very risky to act on them now. You are not ready physically. You're not ready emotionally. You're not ready cognitively. That's the message that we have to give these kids. So this is jumping out off the page to me right now. And, you know, there's many other things also that are red flags, things that are missing, information missing about, for example, how girls are much more vulnerable than boys to sexually transmitted infections.
Yes.
Because of their anatomy and physiology, they're the ones that are going to be suffering more than their boyfriends. And it's just amazing to me how in some comprehensive sex programs that I've seen, girls are advised, if they're not sure whether or not they want to become sexually active, they're advised to speak to, guess who? Their partner.
I'm sorry. That would probably not be a very unbiased point of view that they might be receiving from their boy partner or man partner, whatever.
Just,
oh, my goodness.
It's simply astonishing, astonishing to advise girls to talk it out with their partner and decide whether or not they're ready for this quote-unquote big step in their lives. So, yes, I have seen, you know, countless comprehensive sex education curricula. I've been all over the place exposing the problems with these curricula and, in fact, how they even put kids in danger because of the misinformation, because of the lack of science about intimacy, hormones, how we become attached to the people that we're with, the danger of just considering sexuality purely for pleasure.
Right.
Biology tells us that sexuality cannot be separated from deep emotional ties and bonds of love and trust. So, you know, they claim to be comprehensive. They're not. They claim to be science-based. They are not. They claim to be age-appropriate, and they are not.
Well, you know, I had a longtime friend and retired or soon-to-be-retired teacher in the Omaha and one of the other district school districts here in the Omaha area on the show the other day called in and talked about the fact that Omaha is apparently among the leaders in the nation in sexually transmitted disease rates at the junior high or the middle school and high school levels, and that this is being proposed and promoted by the school board as a way to bring those STD rates down. That strikes me as pretty fallacious thinking. How does it strike you?
Well, you're certainly not going to bring down those rates if you're telling eighth graders that romantic relationships are a way to learn about people and about romance and about sex. I just, you know, this is kind of bizarro world, upside down. You don't tell eighth graders that.
Yeah.
You tell them that they're not ready for it.
Yeah.
And the message needs to be a firm, straightforward medical message. Just the same way that we teach kids about diet and exercise and alcohol and drugs. Not, you know better, you know best what to do. You have the right to decide what you want.
So they've taken the parents and they've taken any spiritual or individual morality out of the equation. They've boiled it down to really an experimentation, a laboratory, if you will, where you get in there. And, in fact, one of the big concerns that a number of people that have appeared on this program have talked about is this whole concept of gender fluidity, which is just off the charts. You can't make this up, Doctor. This is where, as you know, you have little kids sitting around pondering, did God give me the right equipment or not? Or should I be a boy, okay, or a girl? And there's not enough confusion, stress, and otherwise uncertainty in a young person's life or anybody's life in 2016, as it is, as Bruce Jenner would certainly agree, I'm sure, without having to struggle with the concept of were you given the right equipment when you were born? Your take on that, ma'am?
Well, one of the fundamental goals of the ideology behind comprehensive sex education is to blur the distinctions between male and female and to move forward into a world where biology, chromosomes, male and female are no longer relevant. And this is what they're trying to move us toward. There has been a lot of success in that area, but it's simply based in unreality. Biology is very clear. Biology says that people are male or female, that it's a binary system, and that it begins before birth. The brain is different in males and females before birth, and so on and so forth. Are there people that are confused? Yeah, there's always been very small numbers of people that have been confused. The numbers now may appear larger because this is being celebrated, and there's copycat kind of stuff going on, and it becomes very cool to question your gender. So this is what's happening, and we have to keep our eyes on the prize. The prize is the well-being of our kids.
Well, absolutely. And I was going to ask Ed also a possible other complication for this lays on the individual classroom instructors and teachers who have to either buy into this or I don't know where their career goes, respectively. What if they have spiritual, moral, or specific religious objections to the curricula? That poses a huge problem for them. How can they possibly cope with that kind of curricula, if you will, when it flies in the face of what they believe themselves to be?
And it is an issue, and we are living to a certain degree with I would even say a fascist approach toward these issues. I know, for example, in Toronto, where the parents there are grappling with the same issue, the government there in Ontario sends in monitors to make sure that the sex education programs that the government has chosen are actually being taught. They actually have monitors going in to make sure that the teachers are doing what it has been mandated that they teach, even if it's against their own values and against their own common sense.
Sure.
That is pretty scary.
It's nuts. It's as Winston Churchill once described the Soviet Union, enigma surrounded by a mystery wrapped in a riddle. I mean, you can't make these things up, but fortunately we are having the benefit of your experience, commentary, and wisdom in Omaha, Nebraska on Sunday, January 16th at the Victory Church at, I believe it's on 56th and Sorensen Parkway. We'll try to get that differentiate. And by the way, this is sponsored by Nebraskans for Founders Values. You can go to SaveNebraskaChildren.com and learn more about Dr. Newman. I so much appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and look forward to seeing you, and best wishes on your
efforts. Thank you very, very much. And I'd like to just say I have a website, which is MiriamGrossmanMD.com. with loads of information. People need to be educated, need to be informed so they can protect their children and so that they know what's going on in this upside-down world here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grossman.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure. That's Dr. Miriam Grossman. She'll be here in Buggahaw on Sunday, 17th, 3 o'clock, at the Victory Church, and we'll dig up the exact title. This, by the way, I have to tell you, was supposed to have been held at the Liberty Christian Center, the old Ryan High School site at 5616 L Street. And I don't know, could the school board be behind this? That event was disrupted and the leadership of that site canceled on Nebraskans for Founders Values at the last minute, leaving them to have to jump around and find an alternative site for this event. I think that stinks. Liberty Christian Center. You should take the Liberty and maybe the Christian out of that title. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment, and we're going to be joined by a good friend of the show, excellent commentator, and I'm going to ask her some big questions. Editor-in-chief of Politistic.com, Jennifer Burke, Time 336, back in a moment.